Presented by the Esports Research Network and the Media Management and Transformation Center in Jönköping, Sweden.
Hi, welcome to the Esports Research Report. I'm Stephanie Orme from Emmanuel College in Boston in the United States.
And I'm Brian McCauley here in Sweden in the city of DreamHack, where I work with the Media Management and Transformation Center. Now, our guest today is a special guest from Nigeria. It's Seo Olabi, who's the founder and CEO of Africa's leading full-service esports organization, the Lagos Esports Forum. And that was created to drive education, engagement, and empowerment in the Nigerian and African esports ecosystem. Welcome, Seo. And can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Hi, Steph. Hi, Brian. Great to be here. My name is Seo Olabi, like you said. Background in law. I was called to the Nigerian bar 13 years ago. Interestingly, on the 13th of this month, would make it 13 years of being called to the bar, but I've never practiced for one day. I've been into sports media and marketing for the last decade, running content and events for brands, content on radio and on TV for brands, and of course, events also touching on football, tennis, table tennis, and basketball. So yes, COVID came up and everyone knew that we needed an alternative, and that's where esports came into it for me professionally. I've been doing things in the background before now, but professionally moved fully into it in March 2020 with the Lagos Esports Forum, which I co-founded with a couple of other like-minded individuals here in Lagos, Nigeria. And we, like you mentioned, drive this through education, engagement, and empowerment. And we're a member of the Global Esports Federation. That's the Lagos, the LESF. We're a member of the Global Esports Federation. And we pride ourselves as bringing something different to the table from those who have been doing this before now. You know, we call ourselves the game changer. We call ourselves the X factor in the kind of programs we're doing. And that includes the esports conversation, which interestingly, Brian has been one of our panelists speaking, where we've had speakers from across the world. Over 10 speakers have come on that platform to touch on different topics from esports education to sponsorship, marketing, event organization, and a lot more. And we still have a lot still in the cards. And we also run the mobile game tournament, which is the first of its kind in Nigeria. We had the first one in August. We just concluded the second one in October, and we're looking forward to the third one in the new year. That's in the first quarter of 2021. And I must also chip in that I'm a senior advisor on the Africa Ecosystem Development at the Esports World Federation. That's an organization based in Philippines. They are looking to, you know, come into the African continent and also look to explore esports development. And we got to talk, and I took up the role where I would be mapping out the development of the ecosystem with other people on the African continent. So that's it about me.
It's a lot.
I was going to say, Seo, congrats on being more productive with this during COVID than I think I've been in like the last 2-3 years.
That's interesting because the truth is it was inevitable, if I'm to say that, because there was nothing else to do. If I was going to talk about creating content on radio, for example, there was no sports to talk about. There was no European football, not to talk of it, even on the local scene in Nigeria. So we needed an alternative. And that's why when we talk about our payoff, we say we're activating the alternative. That's our payoff at the LESF. So yes, I understand what you're saying, but hey, some of us just grabbed the bull by the horn with the opportunity that came with it.
That's awesome. Yeah. So Seo, how would you define esports, right? Obviously, like a lot of people talk about it as, okay, it's competitive gaming, but can you maybe offer us your own interpretation of what esports involves?
Well, I'd say more professional gaming. That's what I would call it. So as long as you're not doing it professionally, it's not esports. That's my own version of it. Because there are so many people who say, oh, I'm into esports, or I'm into gaming professionally. But the truth is, the key word is professional. And of course, it can be via any of the channels of the video game. So it can be through console, PC, or mobile. But the truth is, if you're not doing it professionally, so that's even for those who are gamers. Then we come to other people, the support cast, the shoutcast, the guys who are in the media, the guys who are in the marketing, and the event organizers and all that. If you're not doing it professionally, trust me, it's still a pastime that you need to take it up. So if you're still not looking at it from the business angle, from the angle of impact beyond just leisure, then it's not esports. That's my own definition.
It's an interesting one. I mean, I'm sure I find a lot of people disagree with you there, but you know.
And you know, that's the beauty, because there are different definitions. That's why you had Steph say some people think it's competitive gaming. I think it's professional gaming. It's semantics. The truth is, everyone have a different perspective, and that's why we don't view it from the same angle. And that's why there will always be dissenting opinions. But at the end of the day, we all agree that it's electronic and that it transcends traditional sports by miles. So if we all come to that conclusion, then we're good to go.
Look, we asked the question to get these answers. Now, from that angle, tell us some of the things that the Lagos, specific things that the Lagos Esports Forum is doing. What are some of the things you're doing towards professional esports then?
Okay, so like I said, the first thing, our three objectives: education, engagement, empowerment. This is how we view it. The way esports is in Africa at the moment requires a whole lot of education. And that's because people don't understand how you can just come and say, oh, I'm involved in video games, and that is a career I want to build. That's the same challenge we had in the 80s, where, I was young then, in the 90s. Let me not say 80s, so you don't think I'm that old. In the 90s, when I was young then, and we told our parents we want to play football. It didn't make sense to anybody at that time, because it was seen as just, oh, you go outside, play, come back home, sleep, and go back to school. So education in esports is a key thing, and that's why we came up with the esports conversation, which is an education objective of the LESF. And like I mentioned, we've had speakers from across the world: Mexico, Hungary, Sweden, the United States, UK. And these are places where esports is thriving to a very large extent. So they come in and share the perspective they have in those places. That is a form of informal education that we've put in place. And people have been educated. We've had feedbacks and people saying, oh, I got this from this. Oh, I got how I can actually kickstart this. We've had people who actually started an esports team, as little as it may sound, from listening to some of the speakers. They listen to an Eric at Fnatic, for example, and it interests them to want to create the same model like Fnatic has in the UK. So that's on one side. Engagement is creating competitions. We have a couple in at incubation stage at the moment, but like I said earlier on, we've executed two already. That's the mobile game tournament, and we believe that with that we've been able, when we first did it the first time, it was just casual games. It was just Ludo King, Ninja Wart, which is a card game, and 8 Ball Pool, which is snooker, electronic snooker. We did that the first time. By the second edition, we expanded it and brought in the Call of Duty Mobile, which is a very known global game. And it also exposed the community. We were shocked at the how large the community was, and that was why we went ahead to do it. Because it even increased the number of gamers we had at the end of the day, because there were about 23 games with 7 players in each. So it meant we had well over 150 players from the teams, which is a good number, talking about those who participated. So it's that's the engagement bit. Empowerment comes from the prize money and the other opportunities we get to open these people to, because beyond them winning at the games, we open them to our network and say, oh, you can channel this through this, whatever you need to do to develop your team, whatever you need to do to develop yourself as a gamer. That's the empowerment bit of it. So there's money, there's exposure to a network that gives you an insight into how you can build your team beyond just playing at the local scene. If I can use that word, that's on the Nigerian scene. You can play on the African continent. And of course, look at exploring the opportunities that are available on the global scene also. So that's the way we're doing it.
That's amazing. I love the three-pronged approach. I especially love that empowerment is one of the facets of that. I think that's really great, like giving people the tools to then really sort of launch themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Fantastic. So Zayo, tell us a little bit more about what the esports scene is like in Africa right now. for those who are unfamiliar?
Okay, esports in Africa is at a nascent stage. We can't dispute that. But the truth is, it's catching on real fast. We're at the stage where India was about a little over five years ago. And it's catching on. The only thing needed is accelerators. I was on a platform a few weeks back at the Commonwealth talking about esports with a very, very interesting panel. And I said, esports in Africa does not need just investors or sponsors. It needs a partner in progress. So if you're putting money in, you can also open up those you're investing in the venture to a certain network, to certain opportunities that exposes them to better things than what they can see. Because the truth is, if they're not exposed to it and they get the money, they would run it like they've been running it before now. But if they're exposed to what is happening, for example, look at where Brian is with the DreamHack, what DreamHack is doing. If we look at what DreamHack is doing and we can replicate that on the African continent, it means we're about to build a very large LAN platform, which is big, which is interesting, which is needed. Because the truth is, there are challenges with broadband and internet connectivity. So why don't we switch to LAN, which is the biggest opportunity we can get, barring COVID. But then, like I said, it's at a nascent stage, but it's picking up real fast. The question I've been asking everyone is, who will take that first plunge? Whoever takes the first plunge gets that first advantage. And the truth is, they would be able to then say that I opened up this market, and then every other person can come in and explore and see what opportunities are there. But the truth is, we're catching on fast. You'll be shocked at the PUBG mobile community. It's big. PES Mobile is also being played on this continent on a very large scale. And I must also mention that mobile is the way. If anybody is thinking Africa, mobile is the way, because there are challenges with consoles and PCs, but mobile is in the hand of almost every individual in a large number, a large percentage. So mobile is the biggest opportunity if there's anyone who's looking to explore esports in Africa.
So the role of mobile esports is very, very important in Africa. And like, so what sort of games are you seeing being played on mobile? What are the most popular ones?
Call of Duty, PUBG, and PES. Those three are being played on a very, very large scale, and the community is quite big. Call of Duty, PUBG, and PES Mobile.
I'd be scared to play those. I can barely text on my phone. I mean, I gave up on PES since the PlayStation 2, and all my friends were better than me. Is that so? Are a lot of people sort of connecting through those games with their friends locally and then arranging informal competitions with their further circles of friends? Is that what's happening there?
Yes, that's exactly what's happening. They've been building this for years now. Like I said, the people who have been doing this before us at the Lagos Esports Forum, and that's what we came and met on ground. But they needed aggregation. So it's like a herd. Everyone is just running here and there, but they needed to be brought together and see a common goal. And that's what we have been able to create for them. We create a common goal, create a common vision, create a big picture, and let them see it. And that's the way we started. We didn't even just start our competition. We did a town hall meeting where we cast a vision to them and told them, this is what we want to achieve with this. And we're moving towards it. If I can say it here, one of our biggest plans for next year is to actually have a Call of Duty Mobile League in Nigeria. And maybe we can open it up to a few teams coming in from the other African countries. But for now, we may restrict it to Nigeria. So mobile is the way to go. And people are really playing it. And the community is growing by the day.
That's really exciting. I mean, I think, too, the popularity of mobile, right? It also gets around the challenge of what you were talking about in terms of infrastructure, right? With broadband being a challenge.
Exactly. Big bypass from there. And it's just available. It's almost like a case of available to all. So it's how well your phone is and a couple of other factors that would now matter. But then on the average, everyone gets to be part of it. Everyone gets to be part of it.
So can you tell us, what would you like to see happen in terms of esports development in Africa? What do you really want to see happen? Do you need help from governments? Do you need businesses to step in? What are the key things that you want to see happen in Nigeria and with the wider Africa?
Well, it's both. And I like the fact that you mentioned actually two major challenges at the moment, because the government is not seeing esports at the moment in Africa. Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure I can mention any country where the government has really, really stamped esports and said, oh, we're going full hog into this, like we've seen in some other climes. Look at what Malaysia is doing, for example. It's like every week there's a new information about the government's involvement in esports there. So yes, the government needs to see it, because look at the Commonwealth Games, look at the Olympic Games, all having a look at the involvement of esports at those games. It means the federations will be needed to raise teams. So the Football Federation will need to raise a team. The Basketball Federation will need to raise a team for NBA 2K. And I've seen a cricket game title before, which means cricket might be in there. Same for golf. So it means all the federations might need to raise something to be involved. So government really needs to be involved. And let's not forget, government also gives the enabling environment for the private organizations to come in. Because the truth is, I can do very little to convince a sponsor if the government, if the policies are not in place, if the environment is not conducive. They will only see a talent in what I'm doing, but will still be skeptical about bringing their funds in because I don't control the machineries of government. So it's a balance that needs to be to be done or to be achieved, so that I, who's in between as a business person, can have the best of the two sides and give the best back to the two sides. So the government also gets the props. The government gets an opportunity to empower the youth, and the business coming in with the money gets a return on investment in good time also. Mm-hmm. So it's a balance of the two.
I was gonna say, governments really stand to benefit tremendously from a vibrant esports scene. All of the commerce that comes in from selling tickets for venues, you know, again, people traveling, right? So there's a huge, huge benefit.
It's sports tourism on another level.
Yes.
It's sports tourism on another level. And the truth is, it's easier to activate than a traditional tournament. Way, way easier and less economic challenges to activate than a major traditional sports tournament. So it's something government may need to look to in Africa. And of course, the business side will also come in.
Do you have any sort of superstars, up and coming superstars in African esports? I mean, you know, in any country, when a superstar emerges, you know, I mean, swimming took off in Ireland after one Olympics when we had a few gold medals in swimming. Does Nigeria need someone to step up in one esports and get a little bit of fame and win $100,000 and suddenly the government will pay attention? Is that what you need right now?
That's not what we need. Let me be sincere. That may be good, but the truth is it ends up being a mirage. Because it may just be that one person. But we need to go back. So government's involvement also involves education. So we can take it back from high school into the colleges level. So if it's that one story is good, like I said, but there must be a track record than the person just plays and just springs up. No track record, no a substance. It's just on the surface. So that's not what we need. It may be added along the way because it would have been a process. So someone, a guy goes from high school and has been going through the ropes and going through the challenges and doing all that. Then he moves to college and then takes part in this big tournament or gets signed up. Can be anything. It can even be a scholarship in a school in the US, in the UK, or even in Sweden. It might be a scholarship tied around esports. That's a good story to share. And everyone will be excited to say, oh, wow, I can actually get an esports scholarship because we have that going on around the world at the moment. So it may not be a tournament to win because it will end up being like Big Brother.
we actually have PhD students from Africa. We have programs. Maybe I should, you know, talk to someone. Maybe that should be something we should aim at. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. If we have that happening, then there's a story. There's a success story than just one instant it. That's what I believe.
Yeah, and so Seo, I think that brings us on to our final question here. And our final question is, when we ask researchers, we say, what are your future research recommendations? And you're not a researcher. So what we're going to ask you is slightly different, but the same. What do you think needs to be researched in African esports so that you have... tangible evidence, Steph's dog is barking again, What would you like to see research that you could use to help drive this education and these ecosystems in Africa? What's important that we need to help you as researchers find out?
I think it would be how some organizations which we look up to, if I can use that word, came to where they are now. So their track record. So some of those things cannot actually be read in their bios or in the About Us section on their website. So for example, I mentioned DreamHack earlier on. There's ESL. ESL has come to Africa before in 2016, 2017. They left. So the research is how they can marry whatever they're looking to achieve with the current situation on ground. If you don't understand the situation on ground, so the question is, what is Africa? Where is Africa at the moment? It's a research, so there, it has a cultural leaning, it has a bias leaning in terms of, oh, Africa loves football, so it means FIFA, PES might be the best sell for now. Oh, it has, you know, it has an ambition leaning. Oh, the guys were eager to look like a Nodwin or look like an ESL or look like whatever it is. It may be that. So there's a need to research how that line, that thin line, can actually be merged, or they can meet at that thin line. Then everyone will be able to move on from there. So I think that's where the research is. The research is, what exactly does Africa need? If we don't understand what Africa need, everyone can come into Africa but not achieve anything.
I think that's really well put. Yeah, that's great. And I'm all in favor of research that actually has some action behind it too, right? Not just studying things from outside, but also trying to improve those spaces, right? Which is
exactly
one of the objectives of the Esports Research Network. So that's really fantastic. Well, exactly. Sayo, thank you so much for joining us today. This was such a pleasure. And I think Brian and I know our listeners will really enjoy hearing about your work, which is really exciting and, again, super impressive, I think, and just about the really vibrant scene that's growing around esports in Africa. So thanks so much for tuning in.
And
we'll post all Sayo's social media links and other relevant links, a link to the Esports Forum's webpage and all of that below our video. But thank you so much again. This was a blast.
Thank you for having me. Thank you, Brian. And
thanks, Sayo.
Let me reemphasize, Africa needs partners in progress, not just investors. We need people who would not only be involved, but would also show the way so we can get to explore every opportunity open to us.